click that one button and that will start recording.
Okay. All right. First, I want to say good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every one of you. I am, good morning, yes, and to God.
We're going to get the mic up.
Oh, a little bit closer to me, I'm sorry. How about that? All right. All right, thank you, thank you. Once again, I want to say good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every one of you. First of all, give an honor to God and to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, give him the praise. All the glory, all the honor, everything, all the praise belongs unto him. As the word said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I tell you, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I tell you, I am super, super excited, yes, of today coming together as I was coming in from Philadelphia. I was just reminiscing because last year was my first year with everyone, and as I look all over this room of all the beautiful faces and how you all have touched me so much. I said last year when I came the first time and was so blessed by so many of the songs and all the word and, you know, just the fellowship and the laughter and to be able to go to the tours of the Noah's Ark and so many more things that we did together. I'm telling you, I told them right then and there, I'm a lifer. I'll be back. You give me an opportunity, I'll be back. And I want to just let you know, everything was trying to hold me back coming. I tell you, I got to the day before I was coming in, it was a storm in that area in Philadelphia. But that was 5:30 the day before I was leaving, which would be 7:30 in the morning. And how about I got a notification saying my flight was canceled? I said, how my flight canceled and the storm may not even be going on the next day? I said, but it's already canceled. But nevertheless, they rebooked me real quickly. Then they wanted to give me two stops. And I was like, well, I'm only stopping once. How many of y'all know, if y'all traveling, we don't want our luggage to be somewhere else, you know, because you got two stops. You stop here, your luggage stops somewhere else, and before you know it, you only had what you brought with you. So, you know, again, with that thought in mind, I was like, no, I don't think so. So I decided, I was like, well, I'd rebook again, and we'd go come a little bit later, maybe about 12 noon. I would get here maybe about 4:30. Went to get ready to go on the plane. They says, I'm sorry, everyone, but we don't have enough flight attendants. I said, I've never heard of such. I was like, not having enough flight attendants. So they said, well, we got to wait. So I said, okay. So we waited and waited and waited. Sure enough, 45 minutes later, somebody showed up. And so we went on and we got on the plane. You would think that was it, right? Y'all was like, woo, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm thanking God because God says all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. So with that thought in mind, I was like, okay, God, maybe you want to teach me some patience. I'll be patient. Well, I got on the plane and here we get ready to taxi down the runway and they stop. And I'm saying, okay, now what? And they said, well, there's a storm somewhere, and so they are not giving us the okay to take off. So again, we sat on a plane for 45 minutes. Now, this was only supposed to be like an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 20 minutes to get to my first destination in Chicago. And so then, how many of y'all know that when you're on your flight, if it's not a long distance, you're not getting no snacks. You're not going to get any snacks, and you're not going to get anything to drink. Well, we sat on that runway so long, they came around with snacks and something to drink. And then, so finally, we did go on, and I got to the Chicago, and I was like, all right, but the flight was supposed to take off at 2:46, my connection to get here to Little Rock. I arrived at Chicago, can you guess what time? 2:46, yeah. So the doors was already shut and they were taking off taxiing down the runway. So once again, I said to them, can you rebook me? And so they said, yes. And they said, well, there's one going out at 6, which was really 6:35. And so, yes, and they said, there's only one seat left. I said, well, to God be the glory, book me. So, of course, I got on there and, they booked me to that. And while I was sitting 3 hours early, you know, at the airport, and then I ran into Mary Harding and Sister Connie, who I met for the first time. So, which was beautiful, and we all came over together. So I just wanted to tell you my little journey before I got here. But I am super excited, you know, for everyone. I want to just say, you know, congratulations to Duncan. Wait a minute, let me just. Yes, 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 yes. I'm just getting the names correctly. Don't worry about it. Okay, there we go. All right. To Duncan Holmes and being the president. And also those wonderful songs that he was singing and playing. I just love the music because it is all about worship too as well. And also, you know, my heart goes out to Sister Renee, who has went on to be with the Lord, who touched my heart dearly when I was here last year. And also to, you know, Dr. Enoch and his wife, and Albert, who's over there keeping everything together. Sister Pauline, who's doing a wonderful job. Isn't she doing a wonderful job? Yes, she's doing a wonderful job. And to my beautiful roommate, Ashley, who also, yes. And so, yes, yes. And look, and to all the wonderful faces I've seen and met last year and now get a chance to see today, and also to all those that are new. I just want to say hello, 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 welcome. And it has just already, you know, been a blessing. Thank you, Cynthia, my namesake, who put this beautifully on me, which is great. So, anyway, as we continue on, this is just awesome. The theme is awesome here. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that theme today. Which is 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 16th through the 17th, because it's so important in what is being said here, so important. But before I go on, I just want to thank also, who is it? Okay, forgive me. You read the scripture, and you... Yeah, Mary read the scripture and, yes, and she prayed. Phyllis, yes, and thank you for that heartfelt. Yes, okay, amen. All right. So let's go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we once again come before your throne. Thank you, Father God, for who you are and who we are in you, Christ Jesus. We continue to give you the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your continuous grace, your mercy, Lord God, your loving kindness. Father God, you're continuing protecting and covering power for us. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for leading and guiding us, directing us, Lord God, for this time that you have set for us to come together. We thank you, Lord God, for NCCB, Lord God. We thank you for all those that came today and desired to come but could not, Lord God. We ask that you would bless them. May they feel your spirit. May they feel your word. May they feel your presence, Lord God, that though they're not here with us today physically, but they are here with us spiritually. So we thank you for being on one accord. We ask that you would bless, meet the need of each and every one that is here, Father God, and those that are not. We ask the Lord God that you would continue to strengthen, renew, restore, rebuild each and every one. And Father God, we ask that as we continue to read your word, study your word, that we may follow your word, and Lord God, may be pleasing unto you. Father God, we thank you once again for all your bountiful many blessings. Continue to bless us all. In Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. We say amen. We ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. So, I tell you, this is an awesome and a great theme here. And reading in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, reading verses 16 and 17. And I'm going to read it in the King James, and I'm going to read it in the NIV too. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Isn't that what we want to be? Isn't that what we want to do? We want to give God the glory in everything that we say, we do, how we move, how we live. Yes. So, and how other way but through his word. And the NIV says, all scripture is God breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, which is us, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. So as we begin to looking at a little bit of history here, we said we're in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is Paul who had wrote to Timothy, some of you know, and he is like his spiritual father, okay? Paul commands Timothy to continually to abide in the truth he has learned, to dwell in it, to live in it, to do not process or advance away from it like the false teachers that has been around, all right? But to continue howeverly means more than merely continuing orthodoxly, but it's called for a commitment to live and abide in what Timothy has already learned through the word of God. Now, many of us may be thinking when we say, well, and I want you to say all, because it says all scripture. Say all.
All.
All. One more time. All scripture. So that's not just the book of Timothy. That's not just the book of Ephesians. That's not the book of Psalms. That's just not the book of Genesis. But all from Genesis to Revelation, all of the scripture here is given by inspiration or God-breathed of God. So let me begin to share with you, and you may already know, what that actually means. All is to be profitable, not just the parts of the Bible that deals with religious doctrine that are inspired, but every and each word from Genesis to Revelation, because it is inspired by God. That's therefore, that is the authority. God is the authority. We know that from the beginning of the words, it said, in the beginning, what? God. So God has the absolute authority. It is God who has made us, created us. It is God who has spoke the earth into existence. It is God who has brought everything into existence in the 6 days. And on the 7 days, he said he rests. It is God. Besides him, there is none other. He is the only and the one true God that it is. No matter what anyone else call on or who else they call on, the Bible says, as we know, it is the beginning. In the beginning, it is God. So he has the absolute authority. Absolute authority on the Bible. All right. And it's through him where it comes established the doctrine and the sufficient for teaching man how to have and be in a right relationship with God. That's what it's all about, to have a relationship. Because God, being who he is, though he created all things, he desires for us to have what? A relationship with him. It's one thing, you can come to church, you can gather together, and that's wonderful, because the word says if two or three gather together in his name, then what? He would be in the midst. So to God be the glory. But there's another thing, and also let me just say, you can get together for Bible study, and you can get together for a prayer service, and you can get together for so many things. But if you are just doing a repetitiveness, then it really means nothing. You have to have a relationship with God. You got to be able to say he is our Father who art in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He has to have that relationship with you. You're going to be able to go in, and we thank God for his only begotten Son. For the word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whomever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know that Jesus is that open door. We know that it is he who has given us access unto the throne. Because God is a holy God. God is a righteous God, as we all know. And his right standing with him. So with that thought in mind, the only way you can come to God is through his son Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God has left his word, have used human humanity to be able to express to us. Isn't he a wonderful God? And he is a wonderful God to take the time who we are, you know, born in sin and iniquity, but yet to have his only begotten son to die on a cross for us so that we may not only have the right to the tree of life, but also to be have a relationship. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Because in the Old Testament, many of us know that they had to go through a priest. And they had to go through all the rituals, but not us today. Through God's grace and through his mercy, we are now able to come before his throne boldly but humbly in his presence. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all forgive me because I'm a praiser. I believe that God needs to be praised all the time. See, it's not only that David said I will bless the Lord, but I say it to me. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Whether I'm doing well or not doing well, but in God I'm doing all well because he said all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. I know that we have a God that we can trust, that want nothing but the best for us, that does nothing but love us, even when we didn't love him. So I know, and I'm so grateful, hallelujah, hallelujah, that he is our God. He is our God that we can come to morning, noon, and night. Hallelujah. All right, all right. I'm going to try to stay on where I'm going. I tell you, yes, as the song says, when I think of the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Can you think about all that he has done for you? I know I'm not the only one that had the testimony from airplane to airplane and trying to get from here to there. I'm sure that there has been some struggles with everyone else. I'm sure you had some cancellations like I did. Some of you may just arrive today. Some tried to arrive yesterday and the day before. I know you have some testimonies of how good God is, how he has brought you through, how the mixture is. I'm telling you, some of you may did not even feel good. Good, feel well, but God. See, we gotta put but God before, after all of that, but God, because God is great and what greatly to be praised. The word says from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, he is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I can't do nothing but help but praise him. Ah, hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, all right, all right. All right, getting back to, because, you know, many people will say that the Bible, no, it was written by man. I'm sure you heard that. You go share to preach the word of God to somebody, and you go to share a scripture with them, they'll be like, that was written by man. Well, they say, no, I don't know about that word of God. You know, or they take bits and pieces. Yeah, I believe this, but I don't believe that. Like I said, all. So let's talk a little bit about that all, okay? Glory to God, hallelujah. So when we say, I may need my helpers. That's my glasses. You know, I came up here, y'all. And I call myself writing big on my paper. Okay. And then you know how you start to see the letters go a little bit smaller and smaller. Yeah. So if I lift it up like this, y'all understand. Okay. All right. So when we speak about that, all of God's word is given by the inspiration of God. All of God's word was breathed. We speak about when people... When people speak of the Bible as inspired, they are referring to the fact that God divinely, that once you hear me, divinely influenced the human authors of the scripture in such a way that they wrote was the very word of God.
Yes.
See, that's the difference. It was divinely influenced by God. In the context of the scripture, the word inspiration simply means God breathed. Means the Bible truly is the word of God. And makes the Bible unique among all other books. Now, people have different views, but the Bible itself claims that every word and every part of the Bible, what? Comes from God. In 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths by the Spirit, interpreting spirit for those who are spiritual. See, in order to read this word, you got to be born again. You got to receive Christ as your personal Savior. You have to, in order to read it, otherwise you'll read it like any other book. But when you have the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. When you are born again, when you don't receive Christ, then the Spirit of God begins to illuminate. The Spirit of God begins to open up things that you have never seen before. The understanding come in, because that is God breath speaking. We know that when God speaks, it comes into existence. Ah, glory, hallelujah. When God speaks, things is created. So his word comes right off that page as you read it. And it speaks unto you and brings forth life. That's why God's word is life. The Bible is God's words to humanity. It was written by human authors, like I said. But God guided them to write what they did. Every word, word form, word placement found in the Bible's original manuscript was divinely and intentionally written. Orthodox views of the church. All right. Let me share a little bit more about the inspiration on the God breathe. The quality, the inspiration of being God breathe refers to the fact that God supernaturally guided the authors of the Bible to write exactly what he wanted to communicate. Isn't that wonderful how God wanted to communicate with us? God who rules over the heavens and the earth, God who sits high but looks low, God who has created that, he wanted to communicate with us. Us, little us. In scripture there, everything in scripture is there because that is what God desires to say to humanity. Inspiration is defined by two terms, verbal, meaning every word is of God's breath, every single word, not just the ideal behind the word, but because God wanted them to be there, and plenary. Which means complete and fullness. God wanted us to give us our complete and fullness of the word. So all of it. So all parts equally of divine originated, equally is of God's authority. Amen. Oh, okay. I missed that. Okay. Did I miss that? Okay. It is God's essential characteristic of the word of God, as his word reveals who he is, what he has done for us through Christ. All right. And as I'm looking at for the scripture, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they was carried along, as I said, by the Holy Spirit. God led human authors to write the scriptures. as they were carried along or moved by his Holy Spirit according to Jesus, who is the absolute authority. And Matthew 5:18 says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota nor a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." So not the words itself is holy or special, but all the words that were formed, the words, the combination, and the wording, and the way that it was brought together by God's divine intention for Scripture and for His words. The phrases and clauses, as we read, they all work together to give us His message, and each portion of the Scripture is purposely there. Each purpose. So, all right. So we wanted to get that, you know, get that straightened out. And if you begin to read in 2 Timothy, the third chapter at the beginning, you'll see that as Timothy was, as Paul was writing to Timothy, he began to talk about the last times and what was going on. Pretty much as what we see today. We see a lot of wickedness that's going on. We see a lot of unrighteousness that's going on. Does that mean that we're truly holy and righteous? No. But yet, because of Christ and because of the Holy Spirit, we are new creatures in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But yet there's continuous things that's going on that we see in chapter 3. As it says here, "This know also that in the last days," I'm going to check verse 1, and I'm not going to be before you long because I'm going to sum this up. But I definitely wanted to make sure that we all be understand again that this word of God has the absolute authority over and with God and with us. There's no other book. No other book. You can have the dictionaries. You can have Google. Because now Google, AI, all of that that's coming out. But no, this is the absolute authority right here. The word of God. Okay. So, but amen. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy." Can you begin to think of people you know? Okay. "Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." All of this here that is what's going on then is even going on today. But so, and as Paul continued to tell him, as Timothy being a pastor, and he wants him to continue to be steadfast in what he have already learned, what he have already known. Don't move her from the left or to the right, but be steadfast in the word of God. So he says that, look, you have all that you need. We have all that we need for every instruction that is needed for this earth, for how to live holy unto the Lord, righteous unto the Lord. It's all where? Right here in your Bible. Right here. Some of you may have it on your phone. Some of you may be listening to it. However, it, all of it is right here. There's no reason to look anywhere else. This is the all of authoritative Bible, the word of God. It comes from Him. Amen. Amen. So, you know, as he continued on, and you could, you know, you can read, you know, all of the things that's going on, the, you know, the sin and the divers lust and everything that Paul names here. But then he goes on to say, as we at 16 again, all. He said, "Timothy, remember, you have it all. All of the scripture has been given inspiration of God. And it's what profitable." Profitable. So let's just say just a little bit about what do profitable means. It's here. Profitable, meaning useful. Don't we want to be useful unto the Lord? Don't we want to be useful? He says, "Be ye not hearers of the word, but doers of the word." So he wants you to do more than just read, but it is take it in and make that change in your life. And that's what the word does. Profitable means useful. Or enhancing our well-being, helpful, valuable, fruitful. We all know that word, fruitful, with the fruits of the Spirit. Productive, informative, the doctrine, the set of beliefs, the beliefs of what God, what His Word, the teachings of what God has already set for us. who we are and why the world exists today, and so much more. And it says, continues on. So he wants you to be profitable, and what from the word of God that you have read and have studied. But then it goes on to say, for reproof. That's a scolding. That's a rebuke. That's chastisement. But wouldn't a parent, mother and father, even if the auntie, grandma, grandpa, wouldn't you chasten your child? Wouldn't you keep them from something that you told them not to? How many of us know? You say, don't touch the stove. There's a fire right there. Don't touch it. And what do? They like, put the hands out, ready to touch it right there. How many of us know that we tell our children or tell our grandchildren, tell our niece, our nephews, our cousins, whoever, that small, you know, children that you're trying to train, trying to show them the rights and wrong. And what do? It's like in their mind, I'm going to do the wrong thing. I'm going, whatever you said, I'm going to do the opposite. That's right. So, but here, God being who he is, a loving God. He didn't say, I'm going to beat you down. No, absolutely. That's Satan. And let us not, you know, let us be aware of what the enemy comes to do. The Bible says that thieves come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you would have what? Life and more, life more abundantly. So when the enemy comes to condemn, but God says that there's no condemnation to those that's in Christ Jesus. So when we hear condemnation, we know that that's not of God. Because if there's something that's going on, God not only going to correct us, but he's going to lift us up. He's going to put us on the right path. He's going to continue to help us. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So, you know, again, there comes that reproof. So will he convict us of those sins? Absolutely. And I thank God for that he don't have us to continue on that path. But then there's come some correction. The process of correction is from something or someone. Putting them right. Adjusting them. You know, we're thinking about being on the potter's wheel. I believe that's Jeremiah. Is it Jeremiah? Right. And the Bible speaks about, you know, putting us on that potter's wheel. We have to be on that potter's wheel so God can shape us, form us, make us to what he sees. To see that, to the vessel that he sees within us. And for instruction, the entire, training, your education of a discipleship, the development of both your mind and your morals, to let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. So there's instructions that God has given and have to keep us on the right path. The Bible says in Psalms 119, how can a young man keep his ways pure? But through the guidance and acceptance of God's word. So that means we got to study the word. We got to be in the word. I know Duncan has said, look, in all this conference, we're going to have a great time. We're going to be fellowship. There's going to be word and things of that nature that's going on. But he says what? Spend time. He says, spend time in the word. Read your word. Take that moment that in the midst of that you're going to spend time with him. And seek to hear what he has to say unto us, unto you. Righteousness, all right? Righteousness is moral standing, known right from wrong. Reason to come by showing the wrongs in people's lives. And that's what God shows us. He shows us the wrongness that we may get it right. He helps us to get it right. Righteousness is to hold us to correct those areas, including our wrong thinking. Sometimes we don't be thinking correctly. Sometimes we allow our circumstances and situation to overcome our thoughts opposed to our God overcoming the situation. The Bible says that in Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. All of those things that we are walking, that we're not sure of, that may be in the darkness, the word gives us that light that we may be able to continue on. And as we continue here, it says, not only for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, but that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as we think about God's word that is here, we want to also be reminded that God's word will give us strength. God's word is true. So when those situations come, I'm reminded of Romans 8:37, that no, to all these things, we are what? We are more than conquerors through him that love us. And First Corinthians 15:57 said, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be reminded that as we learn, as we live, as we continue to take his word has already given us the victory. His word has already given us the strength and continues to give us the strength. It is through his word that all these things are established. Then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And one last scripture that I'm going to give to you is Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Keep in mind, all of the scripture was inspired by God. From Genesis to Revelation, all of it has been set for us. Every triumph, every encouraging word, all the word of life, everything about Christ and everything that we need for us, all of it. Why? That the man of God, that us may be perfect, thoroughly furnish unto good works. And that's what we are here for, to give him glory in all that we say, in all that we do. Thank you and amen. Amen. Hit it again.